Sing that together. Because he lives.
Can end that, but well, it's got to go. I've got to get on here with the right message today, and we do have a message. We really do have a program, and I'm excited. I want you to enjoy every bit of it, every bit of it, and I want you to get your Bible, because I want you to study with me. All the programs lately have just been some of the best that I can remember. We've just dug into the Bible, and wonderful truths have really got a hold of my heart, and I hope your heart. And I'm hearing for people all over the world who are hearing them and loving them, and I am grateful. So we're going to deal today with Lucifer. There's not many preachers that even preach about the demise of Satan, about Satan's uttermost defeat. The devil is losing everything. Do you understand? The devil is losing everything. The devil's not going to win nothing. The devil is going to be in the lake of fire forever, according to the book of Revelation. And you can depend on every word in the Bible, including the book of Revelation. Oh, yes, it's just exciting to know what we have ahead of us. Now, something I said this week on Facebook, I don't know whether you read it or not, but I hope you did. And that is that Satan can do nothing against you if you're totally committed, totally trusting God, living in the Bible, doing the will of God, trusting Christ. The devil can do nothing to you that you don't let him do. Or maybe God will give him a chance, like he did with Job, to try you. But that's always measured. It's always on a time schedule. And he's on the devil. I'm telling you, the Lord God stops it the moment he decides, because the victory is in Jesus Christ. He's won the total victory. He's won the total victory. I'm telling you, he has won the total victory, folks. And the devil can do nothing to you that either God don't let him or you don't let him. Most of it is you. Me and you. Everyone of God, we're living so far beneath our privileges that it just boggles my mind. We're living so far beneath the promise and the great truths of this Bible and the great victory that Christ has won on that cross and that has come to us in the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we really are a victorious people. We are really a victorious people unless we decide not to be. And how do we decide not to be? Because we don't trust him. Someone said to me this morning, I was talking about the care of angels. And I said, angels cannot take care of you if you don't trust him. You have not because you... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sneeze on you. So forgive me for that. Happens sometimes at the oddest moments. But I want to tell you, we have nothing if we don't ask for it. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. I bring you the good news today. If you want to live in victory, it's your choice. If you want to live in triumph over all the darkness around you, it's your choice. If you want to be a triumphant saint of God, it's your choice. If you want to win your children back to God, it's your choice. If you want to defeat the devil that tries to destroy your relationship on your job or wherever you live, your wife, your husband, your family, your neighbors, it's really up to you. He will make even your enemies to be peace with you if your ways please the Lord. And that's what the Bible said. If a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. At peace with him. I promise you, you live close to Christ. Don't let the devil make mincemeat out of you. Learn to live in victory. It's your choice, and you can live in it, and you can know it. Now, what I want to do today is I really want to get you asking questions. I always love that. All you got to do is get that phone, get it in your hand, and call at any moment you have a question that comes at you, and let me help you with it. See, if I'm helping you with a question, I'm helping anybody else in the world that has that same question. And I doubt any one of you can have a question that a lot of other people aren't having. There are questions everywhere because there's so little real teaching and preaching on the Bible today. They sermonize. Instead of preaching messages, they preach sermons. And people like T.D. Jakes, they're sending out sermons by the millions to people. And people all over the world are preaching the sermons of that Jesus-only heretic, T.D. Jakes. He's a Jesus-only heretic. And you better believe me. Absolutely. And if you're preaching his sermons, you ought to get out of the ministry and get you a job selling cars or doing something. You don't preach his sermons, friend. That overwhelms me. Really does. I mean, anybody that has to go to the internet to get their sermons needs to get right with God. Because I'm telling you, if you're called of God, he'll pour more sermons in you than you'll ever have time to preach. Now, if you want sermons poured into you, you got to live in the Bible. You got to find you an altar where you spend much time in prayer, seeking the face of God, and you'll have more sermons than you can preach. Now, there hasn't been enough preaching about the demise of Satan. He's on his last hurrah. Could you hear that? Satan is on his last hurrah. Satan is on his last hurrah. Right now, he's fighting for he's struggling for his existence, and his end is drawing close. I promise you, the Bible can't not fail. It's right on. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Let me read a little bit to you. It says, but unto the Son, this is Jesus, and this is God talking, unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thy throne, talking to Jesus, God the Father, thy throne is forever and ever. Thou hast loved righteousness. This is God talking about Jesus. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish. Notice now, they shall perish. But thou remaineth, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail thee. That's God the Father talking about God the Son. the second member of the triune Godhead. The beautiful Trinity, oh, is so beautiful in this great passage. And thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail thee. But to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art, wait a minute, and I'm sorry, and to which of the angels said at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Every enemy of Jesus, every enemy of the Son of God, shall be under his footstool, and that very quickly. Now, if you go back to Psalms division 1, you have the same passage, and this is a quote that Jesus is making from the book of Psalms. And let me read you just a little bit. I didn't plan this, but it comes to my heart, and so I shall read it for your benefit. It says, he shall sit, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. This is Jesus that God has set at his right hand in the holy hill of Zion, until all his enemies shall be made his footstool. That includes the devil. In fact, primary is the devil and all his angels. And anybody else that decides to join the devil's side, anybody that decides to join the devil's side will soon. In fact, you were born on the devil's side if you don't get on God's side. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And he goes on to say, the glorious victory that is Jesus's. He's won the way. He's won the victory, and the devil is on his last hurrah. You've got to hear that. The devil is on his last hurrah, and he will be cast into first the bottomless pit and then the lake of fire, where he will spend eternity in the powers and the fires of hell and the lake of fire. Now, friend, you've got to hear me today when I tell you that the devil is on the last hurrah. The devil is on the losing ground. Satan is losing everything. I said Satan is losing everything. I tried to name this program something that you would never forget. The devil is losing everything. I kind of like the term Satan is on his last hurrah. But I want you to know the devil is losing everything. The devil will have nothing left of this, of his ugly kingdom. The devil will have nothing left of his ugly kingdom. He's going to be destroyed. He's going to be defeated ultimately and totally and absolutely. And you and I, as victors in Christ, are going to live forever in the blessings of the Heavenly Father and the blessings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want to take you to Zechariah chapter 3, I believe it is, Zechariah. I want you to hear these things that the Lord has spoken, Zechariah chapter 3. You see, the Bible, both Old and New Testament, has laid it plain that Satan is losing, that Satan is going to lose everything. If you could just have, and maybe I need to put this together, all the scriptures in the Bible that talk about the devil's complete and utter defeat. If I could get you everything in the scripture that makes it plain that Satan's going to lose everything, that Satan's on his last hurrah, that Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire. If I could get you all the scriptures, they would be huge. And yet, who hears any preaching about the devil's defeat? I mean, people like to act like he don't exist. And that's what cockroaches like. They like for you to treat them like they're not there. And they hide in the dark, you know. And that's the devil. He hides in the dark because there's plenty of places to see him in the light, to be honest with you. But I'm here to tell you that you need to understand the devil is on his last hurrah. The devil is going to be ultimately and utterly defeated. It's in the making. It's in the making. I like these words in Zechariah 3 and 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan, standing at his right hand to resist him. See, that's the picture in the whole Bible. Is God doing great things? God having great servants? God having great people working for him, loving him, serving him, speaking for him? And always the devil is standing somewhere at their right hand trying to resist them. I mean, he has resisted me ever since I've been saved. He's resisted my preaching. He's resisted the churches I pastored. He's resisted people. I can win somebody to the Lord, and I promise you, before the week's over, somebody comes along and says, "Oh, that's not the right way." Let me tell you, I deal with people all the time who try to go to a good church, and the devil will do everything he can to get you doing what he wants you to do. He'll resist you. He's resisting every one of you right now, and you don't understand why you're having so many problems, why everything is so out of focus, why you're sick in your body, why you're having a battle on your job, why you're having a wrestle and a battle in your marriage relationship. All of that's the devil. And you don't have to be defeated. I'm here to tell you today, please hear me. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to be overcome by the devil. You don't have to let the devil whip you up all the time and do such great damage in your life. Psychological problems are mainly problems that the devil introduces into your life. He'll use your imagination. He'll use your mental thinking system. He'll use the your physical body. He will use all kinds of gossip and talk by people. There are many ways that say, I wish I could just sit here and name every way the devil is going after you and tell you that the Lord is rebuking the devil if you will trust him for you on a regular basis. And you don't have to live in defeat. Am I getting through to your heart and your mind? I hope I am. Because I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus has won the victory for you. Hallelujah. When Jesus gave his body and came down here, took on flesh and gave his whole physical life and then died on the cross and shed a divine blood, he defeated everything the devil represents. The devil has been defeated. Do you understand? The devil has been defeated. I'm going to read a little more here. That very important, Zechariah 3:1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now, that was like a vision that the prophet of God was seeing. He was seeing in the spiritual realm, not just in the physical. This was not something you would have seen with physical eyes. This was something he was seeing in the Holy Ghost by the Spirit of God. And the Lord said unto Satan, and the Lord, that's Jesus, said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. The Lord rebuke thee. I want to say to every devil you're fighting, I want to say to every struggle you're dealing with, to everything the enemy is trying to bring against you, I want to say to that devil in the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke thee. Now you say it with me. The Lord rebuke thee. And start living in that. Start living in that. Every time you have a struggle, go get your Bible. Find you a place to get on your knees. Go to the church altar if you can and cry out to God. And tell the devil the Lord rebuke you. Don't you try to rebuke him. You don't have any power to rebuke the devil. Well, you do in Jesus' name. But see, that victory is Jesus, not yours. It's not something you won. It's not some victory you have. But when you say the Lord rebuke thee, that you can depend upon. Because the Lord doth defeat the devil. Are you hearing me? The Lord hath already defeated the devil. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? That the man of God he's talking about was a brand, a brand plucked out of the fire. See, I've been plucked out of the fire. Man, I was living for the devil full time. 16 years old. Lying and cussing and swearing and stealing and doing everything terrible. And the Lord plucked me out of the fire, plucked me out and called me, filled me with the Holy Spirit. And now the Lord has over many times rebuked the devil and he had to back up. Only the devil doesn't quit fighting. He'll come back when he gets a chance. He'll come back in an opening. He'll keep fighting you. But friends, you got to hear me. I bring you this message because I love you. And I don't want you to live a defeated life. I don't want you to be overcome by the things of this world. I don't want ugliness and evil people to overcome you. I want you to rise above all of that. And in the name of Jesus, understand Satan is on his last hurrah. He's got a little longer, not much. We don't know the exact amount of time. We just know the last hurrah is in the making. And Jesus is going to say, forever the Lord rebuke you. And the Bible says one of the great angels of God, a strong, mighty angel, will take him and cast him into the lake of fire, and you will hear no more from him. I promise you, you will hear no more from him. And his day of destruction is at hand. I am waiting. I am shouting. I am praising God because victory is going to be mine. What a picture. What a picture. You ought to read Zechariah chapter 3 before the day's over and see this victory that God was giving Joshua. The devil was fighting him, but God was on his side. The devil's fighting you, but God's on your side. The devil's fighting me, but God's on my side. The devil is against everything that's righteous and pure and holy, but God is on our side. The devil is after President Trump, but I believe God is on his side. I don't know that he's saved yet, but God has always blessed good men who will stand up for the right thing. You get a good man in political office who stands for the right things, and God will fight for him. God will fight for him. And I believe God is fighting for him. I really do believe that with all of my heart. Now, I want to go to Revelation chapter 12. See, Revelation chapter 12 is the picture as that final end begins to arise. And the devil is about to get to finish his last hurrah, as I'm trying to tell you today. And the devil is about to get his final picture of what God has determined for him. I'm here to tell you, go to chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. Go to chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. And I'm going to show you that Satan is on his last hurrah. I won't have time for everything in this great scriptural understanding of Satan's demise and his final destruction. But the Bible is so full of it. Revelation 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I'm not going to get into giving you the revelation interpretation of that, because I want you to see the demise of the devil. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder. Now you got to see this next wonder. There appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Dragon. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. That is the political picture of Satan at that moment of his history. He has won a one world order. He's got the world at his fingertips, he thinks. He is on his last reign, and he is really, he's hooping it up. I'm telling you, he's hooping it up. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, this old red dragon. 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, let me give you the interpretation of that. It's very easy and very beautiful. Those stars of heaven are his angels that fail with him. These are his demon spirits, his angels, his whole army, and he's got a multitude. I'm telling you, millions and millions of demon spirits, fallen angels. Every demon spirit is a fallen angel. Every demon spirit is a fallen angel. They joined with the devil against God and against the Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and the angels of heaven. And God cast them out. Remember what Jesus said? I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus said that. That had already occurred. And Jesus had already seen it. And here's the picture of where the devil is now, that he was cast out of heaven. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, ready to be delivered, for to devour her son, her child, as soon as it was born. Oh, I wish I had time to give you the good biblical interpretation of that. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to heaven and to the throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. I'm trying to get to this part. And there was, verse 7, and there was war in heaven. War up in the heavens. That's coming. Brother, that's close. That actually occurs at the rapture. At the rapture, there's war in heaven. You got to hear that now. That occurs at the rapture. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, the devil, and his angels. A war in heaven. A war up above us. See, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And here is the place where he comes to the end of being the prince of the power of the air. Right now, he's the prince of the power of the air. Right now, he fills the imaginations of this world with dark feelings and dark emotions and dark ideas. He is spewing dark doctrines of the devils all over this universe. The church is full of dark doctrines that Satan is spewing. And if the church would just understand the place of the devil right now, what the devil is doing, that he's on his last hurrah, and he's spewing his darkness everywhere he can. He's filling the earth with it, filling the atmosphere above with it. But here comes the moment when some of that begins to come to a conclusion. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, the devil. And he fought, the dragon fought in his angels. And prevailed not. Did you hear me? And prevailed not. Old devil is losing. The old devil is losing. Prevailed not. And there was, and neither were their place found anymore in heaven. Now, this is the moment in which the angels of God come against Satan and the angels of the devil. And this war takes place up in the atmosphere above us. The saints will already have been gone up in the rapture. The world will be under the darkness of an antichrist, and all hell will be spewing its darkness upon this universe. It will be a dark, hellish time, a dark, hellish time. But the devil is on his last hurrah. And so this war begins, and the angels of God fighting with Michael, the great archangel, and they cast the devil out. The Bible says, and the devil and his angels prevailed not. You got that word, not. Prevailed not. Hallelujah. What a picture this is. And the Bible makes it plain. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. If you have any wonderment at where this is and who this is talking about, I'm reading it in the Bible. It's not my words. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. You got it? The dragon, the devil, and Satan. Those names are all applied to the same critter. And it's the devil. It's the enemy. Which deceiveth the whole world. Notice that he deceiveth the whole world. Right now the world is so deceived, it boggles my mind to see the deception. The deception in the church is just plain overwhelming. How could preachers allow such a mess to go on? Such a mess in their churches, such dark doctrines, such crazy attitudes and actions. Why? How do they allow it? The devil. The devil is absolutely spewing his filth upon this world. He is spewing his filth. Well, the Bible said the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. Now, if you want to know how terrible the 7 years of the tribulation is going to be, then you look at this. When the devil is cast out of heaven, and all his angels are cast out of heaven, and they all are cast down upon the earth. They become earth dwellers. Every last one of the devils and demons become earth dwellers. Not a one of them can go up into the heavens again. Not a one of them can fly through the midst of the red heavenly spear. No. They are closed out from the heavens above us. And they can only exist on the earth, and they will make the earth's population as miserable as is possible to make it. They will spew their filth. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren, he's accusing me right now. Oh, he goes to God and tries to tell God how bad I am. And I always say, yeah, you may be right a little bit, devil, but I'm washed in the blood. I'm covered by the blood. I'm living under the umbrella of the blood. And so, devil, though I may not be worthy of all these good things that God's doing for me, I'm doing them in Jesus' name. And Jesus is my victor. Jesus is my triumph. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my dependency. I love it. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Right now. Right now. Listen. The devil is accusing you to God. Right now, the devil is after you, preacher. The devil is having a field day with some of you because you don't spend enough time praying. You can't overcome the devil if you haven't learned the power of prayer. You can't overcome the devil with your education, with your degree from some theological seminary. You can't defeat the devil like that. You can only defeat the devil full of the Holy Spirit and by the power of the blood and by the power of the word. I'll show you in a minute. There's three forces on this universe that is our total victory, and nobody can walk above them, and nobody can go around them. They are absolute. The word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I'll show that to you in the Bible now. The word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You live by the Holy Ghost, in the blood, under the authority of the word. The devil is just losing every day in your life. He can do nothing. You got to either leave the life in the Holy Ghost, or you got to quit praying like you ought to, where there's no connection to the Bible, and you're not under the blood, and then the devil just makes mincemeat out of you. I can imagine right now how many people out there are so depressed and so under the darkness that's around you, and your head is so, you always got these headaches, and you know, I know so many people that get a mighty headache on Sunday morning almost every week, because they're allowing the devil to make mincemeat. Quit doing that. Quit letting the devil have his way in your life. Get your Bible. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get under the power and umbrella of the blood, friend. And you're the victor. You can absolutely have victory over everything the devil brings against you. If you'll get in the word, full of the Holy Ghost, and under the power of the blood. I'm washed in the blood. I have the cleansing of the blood every day of my life. I wouldn't dare try to live without the blood. Let me read a little further here. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heavens, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Hey, can you hear this? This is the book of Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You say, Brother Chambers, are you one of those who believes all our victory is in the blood? Absolutely. What do you mean? There is no victory outside the blood. There is no victory outside the power of the blood. The power of the blood working in the word under the anointing of the Holy Ghost is your victory. The blood in the word under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If you're living a defeated life, it's your fault. Don't accept it any longer. I'm giving you the Bible. I'm giving you the word. God, by his grace, will take care of you. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. Listen to that. By the word of their testimony. Start testifying to what God's doing for you. I tell it everywhere I go. I tell it. I was in a restaurant last night with two of my sister-in-laws, my wife's two sisters. And I said, let's pray before we leave. And they said, no, let's wait till we get to the car. I said, I want to pray in here where I can pray with more than y'all. You say, you pray out loud? Of course I pray out loud. Why should I do otherwise? See, I'm not afraid, but most people are. I get amazed at that. But I'm here to tell you, God is the victor. God is the victor. God has grace and glory and love and mercy. And God is watching after you. And God wants you to live in victory. Wow. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm enjoying myself. And now, let me take a little time. I want some calls. Get yourself on the phone. Let me put up the phone number here so you won't have no excuse. get yourself on the phone, 704-391-0588. If you're calling outside this range, 1-800-338-7884. And you know, we got cell phones now. Everybody's got them. You don't need to call me on a landline and somebody have to pay. Your cell phone has unlimited long distance. So call me on the 704 number, 391-0588. I want to help you. I want to help you overcome. I'd love to have a few calls now. I'd like to spend these last 27 minutes on the telephone helping some of you learn to live in the victory. Learn to live in the victory. There is no sense in you not living in the victory. Now, while you're getting your phone, and that's also good, great day. You know, you think of all this Bible says, and it's absolutely grand. It's absolutely grand. If you're not living in victory, it's your fault. And I want to give you something. I'm going to give an audio message today on a CD, an audio message entitled A Safe Place. A Safe Place. I'd like to send out 100 of them this week. A sermon I preached last Sunday night on a safe place. From the division, Psalm 23, that great Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I mean, I want you to have that sermon. Will you grab your phone and call and let my secretary send you a copy of this? A safe place. Call quickly, 704-391-0588. And then ask her to let you talk with me. And she'll put you on hold, and she'll give me the line you're on, and I'll take your phone number, and I'll talk with you. So grab your phone real quick. I want to hear from you. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to you with all my heart. I really do. Now, the devil is losing everything. Do you understand that? The devil is losing everything. The devil is on his last hurrah. The devil is on his last hurrah. I wish you'd say that every day, every moment you think about it for the next few days, that the devil is on his last hurrah. Would you do that with me? Would you do that with me? The devil is on his last hurrah. The devil is coming down to the end of his road. His rope is just a little bit longer, and then he's going to be at the end of his rope, and God's going to pull the line on him, and that's going to be it, friend. I'm telling you, that's going to be it for him. I am excited that day is coming. Now, there's so much I've got here. Well, I was going to go to John chapter 16 and read one verse. One verse that I want everybody out there to hear. You need to hear this. Would you try to listen? Listen carefully. Would you please? St. John 16, verses 10. I'm sorry, verses 11. St. John 16, verses 11. Now, this is powerful. The Lord is telling us why the Holy Ghost is coming and the purpose of the Holy Ghost coming. And he's coming to reprove us of sin and of righteousness. And number three, of judgment. Now, what is he talking about judgment? He said, because the prince of this world is judged. Because the prince, that's the devil, of this world is judged. Did you know the devil's been judged? He's been sentenced. And he's waiting for the execution of the sentencing. He's waiting. He's had a little bail time, and he's doing everything he can to take advantage of it, trying to destroy as many as he can, but then the devil will be executed. I don't mean executed like an electric chair, but in the lake of fire. That's the worst kind of execution that I could imagine. It's a coming. It really is. Now, don't forget that. That's in St. John chapter 10, chapter 16, verse 11. St. John chapter 16 and verse 11. Now, I want to take you while you're calling. Grab your phone. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. The devil is losing everything. Do you hear me? The devil is losing everything. The devil is losing everything. I want you to call. I'm waiting on it. 704-391-0588. I want to answer your question. I know there'll be bunches of others that will have the same question, and I'll be helping a lot of you. And I really want to help you. I'm serious about being a real blessing to people who are under the defeat. You, much of the diseases In fact, I would say 80% of all diseases is a work of Satan at that moment. What Satan is doing against you. Satan will come against you in the body, and he will make you. Do you think he can make you sick? Oh, I believe. I'm telling you, he can. He will destroy you physically and make a wreck out of you if you don't learn that Jesus has healed you by his stripes. By his stripes. The Bible says, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Who healeth what? All thy diseases. Does the Bible really say that? Yes. Go read Psalms 103, verse 3. Psalms 103, verse 3. Who healeth all thy diseases. Why does Jesus heal your diseases? Because the devil is the afflicter. That's why. The devil is the afflicter and Jesus is the healer. The devil is the afflicter and Jesus is the healer. Why don't you learn to trust him, huh? Why don't you learn to trust him? Now, I want to take you to the book of 1 John. I mean, this is powerful. This is overwhelming. This really is overwhelming. Come on, help me find it here. You know, the Bible is such a wonderful book. It really is. This is 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let's read, if we might, verse 9. And this was manifest. Nope, that's not the right place. Here it is, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. Boy, you're talking about the Trinity. That lays out the Trinity of God as perfectly as it can be laid out. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus. Everybody knows Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Nobody can doubt that Word there is Jesus. It's a capital W-O-R-D. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Trinity of God is a united Trinity. Three distinct persons, but united in perfect oneness. United in perfect oneness. Not just one person with three manifestations, but three persons with three manifestations. That whole idea of one person with three manifestations leaves God schizophrenic and don't even know who he is. Leaves him schizophrenic. One time he thinks he's God, then he thinks he's Jesus, then he thinks he's the Holy Ghost. No, he is the Father, and he's also Jesus. And he's also the Holy Ghost. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. Three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost. The water, that's the Word of God. And the blood, that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And these three are one. Now, I come to you with all the sincerity of my heart. You have absolute victory in the power of the Word, and the blood, and the Holy Spirit. And that victory was won by Jesus. It is Jesus' victory. It's not one you have won. He won it for you. You don't fight to victory. You fight from victory. You don't fight to have the victory. You have the victory, and then you defend it and stand on it. Do you understand? You don't fight for victory. You fight from victory. The victory's already been won. The victory's already perfect, settled, absolutely settled. Nobody can change it. The victory that Jesus has won is as fixed as that sun is in the sky and the water is in the ocean and fish are in the sea. I mean, it's just fixed. It's just set. It can't be changed. It can't be changed. The devil has been defeated. The devil has been judged and sentenced, and he will soon be executed. I'm telling you, he will soon be executed. I cannot imagine anything so wonderful. Now, I've given you enough to shake you to the foundation of your faith. And that's what I want to do. And I want to get you living in the triumph of Christ's blood, under the umbrella, under the authority of the Word by the Holy Ghost. I want to get you overcoming the devil. Are you depressed and bothered and disturbed and having, you know, these big old headaches? What do they call these headaches that people talk about getting? I'm trying to say the Word. I can't say it. And God showed me years ago that those headaches was nothing but attacked by Satan. Absolute migraine headaches. as a whole. Now, I don't say there aren't some things that people think of migraine headaches that is not a physical problem. But as a whole, I'm telling you, migraine headaches are the work of the devil. And if you'll stand on the blood of Jesus and the power of the scripture and rebuke that thing and quit filling your body full of BCs and aspirins and all of those kind of drugs, you will have the victory over those migraine headaches and you can live a victorious life. And this is true for your whole life. I was thinking this morning as I was in the sanctuary early for prayer. We come at 5 to 6 every morning. Get on our faces with God every day, 7 days a week, 24/7. We just are believing God to show great miracles to people. And the work is, I'm telling you right now while I'm looking at you, that you can be healed by the power of Jesus right today while I'm praying on this phone, while I'm praying on this internet, while I'm praying on this Facebook, while I'm praying on this CD, whatever you're listening to, whatever you're watching, radio, Facebook, internet, I'm telling you, Jesus has won the victory for you. Jesus has won the victory for you. Will you take him at his word? Will you believe what he said? You know that unbelief is one of the darkest sins in this generation, don't you? One of the darkest sins is unbelief. People claim to be Christians. They don't believe nothing he said. They don't trust him with nothing. They still, whatever it is, they have to run to some secular source to get it taken care of. And I'm trying to tell you that the miracle is in Jesus Christ, in the power of the blood, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God. And I'm trying my best to encourage you and to help you get in that victory and live in it because it's yours. If you're a born-again Christian, the victory is yours as sure as my name is Joseph Chambers. The victory is yours. You don't have to ask for it. You've got to claim it. You don't have to beg God for his promises. You trust him for his promises. You believe on him for his promises. And he can no more fail. He can no more fail than Jesus could have been defeated at the cross. He can no more fail than Jesus could have been defeated at the cross. The prince of this world has been judged. The prince of this world has been judged. Now, I'm waiting for your calls. I'm giving you a sermon, a CD. The lady is standing by. I don't know how many calls she's had. Maybe none. Sometimes anymore, I get all these questions on Facebook and all kinds of remarks on Facebook. I get them on the internet. But radio people don't seem to care about the Bible like they used to. And getting you excited in the scripture seems to be almost an impossibility. And I want to stir you up. I want to move you with all that's in my power to a life of dynamite faith, a life of dynamic faith, a life of mighty faith. I'm going for a moment to the book of 2 Thessalonians. I want to read you a scripture that's really powerful. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed. And then shall the wicked be revealed. Now, this is the final scripture for today. This is the words of Apostle Paul speaking by the Holy Ghost. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, I'll read more, but the victory is really so close. I'm telling you, we are coming down to the wire. We're coming down to the end. We've got the great rapture to occur at any moment. Any moment. You see, the end is not a moment, it's a movement. The end is not a moment, it's a movement. Are you understanding me? It doesn't happen in a moment, that's the end. No, it's a movement. It begins with the rapture. The very first action of the end will be the rapture. Now again, let me give you the phone number, 704-391-0588. I want to talk to some of you. I've got about 13 minutes. I want to answer some questions. I am so afraid that I'm not getting through to many of you, that you're not hearing me, that you're going to keep on living in utter defeat, and you're going to keep on just having a mess in your life, and you're going to be in the valley of despair the rest of your days, and you're under such oppression and such darkness, and you live in like you live from one crisis to another crisis, and your life is just it's sorrowful. I don't want you to live like that. I want you to know by the blood of Jesus, when you're saved, you're washed in the blood. You're washed in the blood. And then you get full of the wonderful Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you get full of the wonderful Holy Ghost and live in this Bible. You live in this Bible, and God will do wonderful things for your life. And God will bless you and bless you and bless you. And you can grow on and on and on, living in victory until the triumphant day. I've been a Christian 66 years and a half. 66 years and about a half. I was saved in 1952 in March. And I'm telling you, I have lived in victory all these years. I've been in some dark spots, but God always brought me through them. I've been in some places I could have been killed in a moment, and the angels of God were right there just in the right moment. I was going down Tuckasegee just three or four weeks ago, and somebody literally turned from the other side of the road across slap in front of me. I mean right slap dab in front of me. I'm looking at the back end of that car, and it didn't seem like it was but a foot away. And I knew I was slamming that car with all I had. And I don't know what I did. I jerked the steering wheel to the left, and nobody was in my way. And that car somehow passed through. And I don't know whether I went through the car or whether I got around the car. All I know is I didn't hit him. I didn't hit the car. And I went up the road and stopped to check my car to see if I might have hit him and didn't know it. I was so afraid. I was so sure. I crashed that car right in the side. And God had literally took me around it. I don't know how he did it. I just know he did it. And I've had that to happen so many times. People accuse me of being a bad driver. I'm not really a bad driver. They just think I am. I think I'm a good driver. So quit accusing me out there. Okay? All of my church members, quit accusing me of being a bad driver. I'm kidding now with them. But I want you to know, God is my defender. And he has defended me in so many ways and so many, and he wants to defend you. Now, 10 minutes. I want to talk about your defense. I want to talk about you living in victory. I want to talk about you overcoming Satan. I want to talk about you rising above all the despair that's all around you. I want to talk about you living in faith and having a peace of mind. Trusting God every hour of the day. Learning to pray until Christ is just walking with you. And you're living in the hope and the power of the Scripture. Believing every word in this Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did you know the Bible said that? I just read that this morning. Man shall not live by bread alone. The Bible says it. But the answer, Jesus said this to the devil. Jesus said this to the devil. I'm talking about the devil today and his defeat. And he answered and said, it is written. This is Jesus now talking to the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I want you to hear that. That was words that Jesus spoke to Satan. Those words were words that Jesus spoke to the devil. I mean, the devil is tempting Jesus. Remember the 40 days of fasting and prayer? And then the devil comes to tempt him and try to destroy him. And the devil does, three different things to try to take him out. And Jesus stands up, and every time he stands on the Bible, and here is the first accusation. Let me read verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. That's what the devil said to Jesus. But he answered, Jesus answered, and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Have you been penknifing the Bible? Have you been treating the Bible like a smorgasbord? Have you been treating the Bible like a cafeteria? Where you pick and choose. I like this. I don't like that. I like this. I don't like that. You can't go to heaven living like that. You got to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the reason so many of you are sick and suffering, and so many of you are under depression, and so many of you are about to lose your mind, so many of you are going through the darkest kind of things you could imagine. Why is it? Because you're not living by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I would close today begging you to start living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm nothing but a Bible preacher. I've never changed because I believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you can't change. Whatever the Bible says is what you preach. I started preaching that 61 years ago. Well, I really preached it before that. As a young man, I preached several sermons in prayer meetings in different places, a revival or two before I started pastoring. I started pastoring in 1957 in Tabor City, North Carolina. Can you believe that? Tabor City, North Carolina. I was there nearly 2 years, and then to Rockwell for five and a half years, and Black Mountain 4 years, and Charlotte over 50 years now. Friend, I'm telling you, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Live in this word. Be a victorious Christian. Live in the joy of the Holy Ghost. Live in the authority of the Bible. Now, question. You know, I'm trying to think of what you might ask, and me ask it for you. Let me see. Are you telling me, Brother Chambers, that the devil has to lose every time I trust God? I'm telling you, if you live by the Bible, the devil cannot cross the Bible, and the devil cannot cross the bloodline. Listen, the devil cannot cross the bloodline. You got to live in the Bible under the blood and by the Holy Ghost. If you live in the Bible under the blood and by the Holy Ghost, the devil can't touch you. And if the devil does touch you, it'll be because God allowed him and he'll be defeated. And all you got to do is trust God. Hold on to God. Go forward with God. Don't vary. Don't change. Just go forward and do the things of God. So, yes, you must live by the whole Bible. And as I just asked, you can have the victory, every last one of you out there. Now, I'm going to emphasize this for my last 4 minutes here. You can have the victory. Every one of you out there can have the victory. Every one of you out there can overcome the diseases. You can be healed of cancer. I've already been healed of cancer. You can be healed of heart attack. I've already been healed of a heart attack. You can be healed of a gallbladder attack. I've already been healed of a gallbladder attack. I'm telling you, you can overcome the enemy in every way he comes against you if you will learn to totally trust him and totally depend upon him. You can live a victorious life. You can win your family. You got kids lost, Reverend Chambers? Yes, I have. But they're not going to stay lost. Because I'm on my face. I'm bearing their sins for them. I'm repenting of their sins in their stead. I'm crying out to God with everything inside of me. They're going to come to God because the Holy Ghost is not going to let them get away with it. The Lord is at the Father's right hand. And he's pleading for us. And so, yes, you can win your children. Yes, you can see a revival in your church. Preachers, you get on your knees instead of golfing all day. Running around with preachers and hanging out at Walmart. Instead of just playing games and just always on your fun side, get yourself on your face and stay there. I was on my knees yesterday, Thanksgiving morning. Well, that was day before yesterday, wasn't it? And I sent out a text, I don't know, about 100 people. I think I got 2 answers because it was all about prayer. I thought, wow, I've disturbed their Thanksgiving. Praise God, I'm glad I did. I'm going to keep disturbing them till I get them on their knees. Because we are just living in a world where even the preachers don't half pray. Any preacher out there that don't pray an hour a day ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to turn in your license and get your job doing something honest. Because if you're not praying like you should, you're not an honest pastor. And you're not giving it what you ought to give him. God needs you to be on your face. And God needs you doing his will. Brother Chambers, you're too hard. I'm not hard. I'm just telling you the truth. There's a world going to hell. What do you want me to do, soft pedal? How can you soft pedal the Bible when the world's going to hell all around you? When you see every kind of destruction you can imagine. How can you soft pedal the scripture? You can't. I can't. Because I got to answer to God. And I love you. Oh, do I love you. I want you to live in victory. I'm telling you. I'm coming to you with every passion in my heart. I want you to live in victory. I want you to be victorious. I want you to be happy. I want you to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want you to be covered by the blood. I want you to be under the umbrella of the blood. I want you to depend on angels every time you get in the car, every time you go out the door of your house, every time you do anything. I wouldn't go on my house to clean out the gutters without prayer for nothing in this world. I wouldn't do anything that has danger. I mean, riding the lawnmower around here. I like to ride the old lawnmower. I want God to be with me. I want angels to protect me. You need that protection. He said he gives his angels charge over you to bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Did you know the Bible said that? The Bible says it, friend. I mean, you got to believe the Bible. Don't call yourself a Christian if you don't believe the Bible. Listen, let me read you something. He says, are there not all men, speaking of angels, are there not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Talking about angels. And the Lord says, are not they ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's what the book says, friend. That's the last verse of Hebrews 1. Go read it. The last verse of Hebrews 1. Go read it. Get in this Bible, friend. I'm telling you, I love you. I care about you. I brought you something today that could change your life. You take this program and these scriptures and this great truth I've given you, and you can be a brand new person within days. Begin to pray. Begin to seek the face of God. And I'm telling you, God will start working wonderful things in your life. I really believe this. You know I wouldn't bring you this and just do it as something that's not true. You know me too good for that. I am here to be a blessing to you. I am here to be a blessing to you. I'm here to help you go forward for God and with God. I'm here to help you grow in the Lord. I'm trying to get a song ready. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Because he lives, I can live also. How about you? Because he lived. I'd love to have you in church tomorrow. I know it's Thanksgiving weekend. There'll be a lot of people not here, but maybe there'll be a lot of people who come to visit. Maybe your church is not having service. Come here at Sunday school at 10, morning worship at 11, evening worship at 6 tomorrow. Evening worship at 6 tomorrow, okay? At 11 in the morning. I'd love to have you. I'll preach to you. I'll be a blessing. And we have lunch too, right here on the campus. We'll take every visitor to lunch. That's how much we love you. That's how much we care about you. Great day. How good the Lord is. How good the Lord is. Well, bless you. I love you.
The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the king when he comes. Oh, we shall see the king. We shall see the king. We shall see the king when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the king when he comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure. The vile can never stay. We shall see the king when he comes. Oh, we shall see the king. We shall see the king. We shall see the king when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the king
when he comes.
Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? To crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. We shall see the king when he comes. And we shall see the king. We shall see the king. Oh, we shall see the king when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. We shall see the king when he comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure. The vile can never stay. We shall see the king when he comes. Oh, yes, we shall see the king. We shall see the king. Oh, we shall see the king when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the king on that last verse. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? To crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. And the kingdoms of this world shall soon be formed. before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes. For he is coming with power. All hail the blessed hour. And we shall see the King when he comes. On that chorus. Oh, yes, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes.